At Vistar, we believe in better. Our members now have access to more than 20,000 fee-free ATMs across North America. If you believe that convenience is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
From Daytona Beach, Florida, this is the Daytona Motor Mouths Podcast.
The Daytona 500 belongs to Franklin, Tennessee's Darrell Waltrip.
With two of the preeminent motorsports writers in America, from the Daytona Beach News Journal, Godwin Kelly.
Hey, get out of my way.
And Ken Willis.
Come on, Godwin, Rubin's racing.
This is the podcast for NASCAR fans.
He's down low.
The Daytona Motor Mouths, online at DaytonaMotorMouths.com.
And Kevin Harvick is the Daytona 500 winner.
Now, here they are from the Daytona Beach News Journal, Godwin Kelly and Ken Willis.
He's going to make it. Dale Jarrett's going to win the Daytona 500.
Well, 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 Mr. Kelly. Ken Willis here with my friend Godwin Kelly, and we're pioneering here. It's our first podcast. We're like Lewis and Clark.
I feel like we're on a wagon train heading west.
We definitely are. This is what we were going to call the intro.
Okay.
All right. That was fun. That was the Wayback Machine right there. Good to be back here in 2019. I believe we're in April, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah.
Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly, episode number 100 of the Daytona Motor
Mouths. 100.
That was episode number one we just heard a little piece of. And everybody remembers where they were in monumental moments in the history of man. Today, here to help us celebrate our 100th is Buzz McKim, whose name is usually preceded by the words NASCAR historian. Formerly was the official NASCAR historian, I believe, now retired, and now he's just a contrarian instead of a historian. Buzz, you must remember where you were when you first heard the original Motor Mouths podcast.
I think I was in the John.
Sure. You got to pass the time. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine anybody wanting to do this 100 times?
Well, if you're having fun and if,
I repeat my question.
Oh. So who has what on you to make you do this?
No, it gets us out of the away from the desk, if nothing else. The odds, real quick. You've studied things before. You know that. What are you from 0 to 100%? The odds of us making it to 200.
I'm going to give you 100%.
Really,
I like what you do.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
I'm sorry. You're chained to it for another year, couple of years, right?
Look at God when he's Facebook Live and over there. He's our techno beaver. He can do it all. He's a man. He's a man of many something.
Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, Buzz has his own deal.
Yeah.
And he does it on Fridays.
You have a deal?
Yeah. So, Buzz, what I want you to do is, just because I'll forget if we don't do it now, is talk about your deal on Friday.
My deal is called Legends of Racing Radio Show. It's a podcast, goes global.
No future in that, Buzz.
No, probably not. Yeah, my banker says so. But anyway, we broadcast every noon on Friday from the North Turn Restaurant, the site of the first NASCAR race in 1948. And we've been doing it for coming up on 50 episodes. We have our 50th next week, and we've had a myriad of racing luminaries. How do you like that, huh?
Wow.
Over this past year or so, and we have a lot more in the works. People are clamoring to get on our show. And I know you two are a couple of alumnuses, aren't you? That's right. You were number one and number two.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, those go together.
Yeah, and Godwin's the only one of our guests that was late, but that's okay. You had a good reason for it.
So I got invited. I was thinking that Buzz had a setup like we did, where they recorded it, you know, and then edited it, takes out all the stupid stuff, and then, you know, do like we do.
We'd have nothing left.
So I was, you know, I live in Palm Coast, and the show's in Ponce Inlet. So it's like getting to the other side of the moon for me. And so I was just lollygagging along, and I was running a little late, and I was like, it's no big deal. So I walk in there, and somebody, your stage manager, was like, get over here now. So,
Do you remember when I got there when you invited me?
I do.
about 20 minutes early?
Yeah. That's how the pros do it.
So early, they were still deciding what the soup of the day was going to be.
We were kind of learning as we went that day. You were our guinea pig, I guess we could say.
Well, our experimental model.
Yeah.
Call me Porky. But I get there, and it's fun. Then they said, well, you know what? So-and-so's not going to be here next week. Our technical guy's not going to be here. If you can stick around and let's help us put a show number two in the can, so to speak. We can have two. So I was back-to-back, Jack.
Yeah, for only time we've ever done that.
Yeah.
Just like Pocono, back-to-back.
Back-to-back. we're going to talk a little bit about that later. One of our things we got coming up is Kevin Harvick talking about next year's schedule. Is that right, Godwin?
Yeah.
Okay, and we're going to review Texas just passed. Bristol's coming up, and we're going to get to all that and more right after this. With What Do You Know? Daytona Motor Mouth celebrating show number 100. Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly, special guest in studio, Buzz McKim. Buzz, how much racing do you watch these days, and can you speak smartly about what happened at Texas and what we might see at Bristol?
If there's something on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm there. I hit F1 every once in a while, but I don't know. I'm still a NASCAR guy.
Yeah.
And I was tickled to death to see how everything worked Sunday. I think the new package is probably starting to work itself out.
Now, the reviews have been, at best, mixed.
Yeah.
It is not, to put it nicely, it has not worked in the way the most optimistic of onlookers and officials had hoped.
What do you
see that makes you feel better?
Well, the fact that, that it wasn't just a long train, of single file, sporadically a car would come by before.
Yeah.
Now, at least they kind of ran under a little bit of a blanket.
Yeah.
And you had, the first, 10, 15 cars that were relatively close. And I think it's a step in the right direction. I think we still have a ways to go yet, though. But I was happy with what I felt was progress.
And Denny Hamlin won, furthering his comeback from a really subpar 2018. He won at Daytona, which we know means nothing, but now to win at Texas, which is a fast track, and it's not a plate race, a quote-unquote plate race, and given what the Gibbs team is doing along with the Penske team this year, I mean, Hamlin is now back in the saddle at full gallop, so to speak, and he has to be considered a guy to reckon with going forward this season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's viable for sure. Yeah.
We got a clip from him after Texas, right, Godwin?
Yeah.
Oh, super.
You got that queued up? All right, let's see what Mr. Hamlin had to say after his second win of the season.
The speeding penalty, the uncontrolled tire. I think did you miss pit road or did you run out of fuel?
I missed pit. Well, both. We ran out of fuel. I know, it's amazing.
It was
we ran
very
out of fuel early
day.
In the race. I passed pit road and we ran out. That cost us, I don't know, 6, 7. It was a lot. It seemed like a lot. I lost the straightaway to everybody else.
327 cars by my count, but maybe
not
that.
And then I tried to come to pit road hot, and I about spun out, and I had to let off the brake to keep from spinning out, and then I knew I wasn't going to make pit road, so I had to check up and then lose another 4 or 5 seconds under another green flag sequence. And then I was just beating my head against the steering wheel thinking, man, we're going to finish bad with a really fast car. And we just kept digging, and Chris kept doing a good job at encouraging us that we had a long way to go, and we kept passing cars. And I think at some point we passed everyone for sure. Once we got the clean air in the front, the 20 pulled off for his pit stop. It allowed me to be more aggressive with the way I was driving. And then we made a really good adjustment there at the end that got our car better. So really the only time our car kind of struggled handling-wise was when we were in that pack of three with our teammates. Had we had the balance we had earlier in the day, I felt like we could have probably got around them. But certainly we were we had a great car all day, just a bunch of hiccups in the middle of it. And we just were fast enough to overcome everything that kind of got thrown at us.
Forgot to mention that as Hamlin's crew chief, Chris Gabehart, his first year crew chief, was also in that. If you might have noticed a second guy butting in here and there. Joe Gibbs owns the race team that Hamlin drives for.
Yeah.
And they have four wins,
I think.
Four wins. Seven outings.
Four out of seven.
Kyle Busch.
Two.
Denny Hamlin.
Two.
That is how many total?
Four and a half.
We did it. All right, you want to hear from Joe Gibbs?
Yeah, because
post Texas. All right, here's the coach.
Yeah, I think what happens in our sport, you know, you get on a hot streak, and then we all know in pro sports the hardest thing is to stay up there. And so I would say that some of those others are knocking on the door. I think there were some teams today that had a chance, but they made mistakes. And so I think it's just one of those things right now. But, you know, we're thrilled to be a part of it, I'll tell you that. And I hope we can find a way to stay up there. But in pro sports, we all know the hardest thing is to stay up there week in and week out because, you know, we got so many really good cars, many good owners, and good competitors. It's the best racing in the world.
They go to Bristol this week.
Yep.
Gibbs and Penske, those two teams, have won every race so far.
Yep.
In the Cup Series.
Yep. Yep.
We beat this around a little bit last week, and we made our choices. And since I forgot what I'd said, and I sure as hell know you forgot what you said, we'll do it again. We'll let Buzz jump in. Ken Wallace, Goblin Kelly, Buzz McKim joining us for show number 100.
100.
Yes, T-shirts will be forthcoming, I'm sure. First non-Penske Gibbs driver to win a Cup race this year, and will it happen at Bristol? Mr. Kelly.
I think the chain, which is Gibbs Penske, will be broken at Darlington.
Yeah,
at so Bristol.
I should stick with Darlington. It's a long way off.
No, I think it's going to be broken.
And who?
And I think maybe the other Busch boy, Kurt.
Yeah,
he runs there really, really well.
He used to own the place back in like 03 or something like
so
that.
He's
like 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 4.
He's getting back in form.
But that was a long time ago.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like if you take batting practice, you know.
Rehashing old wounds. Fresh wound, actually.
Yeah.
Fresh wound and a fresh wound.
So, anyway, my pick is Kurt Busch.
Yeah, which was going to be my pick. I got to scurry and think of it.
So we'll give it to Buzz.
Buzz,
now.
Will that streak end at Bristol? And if so, who does it?
Yeah, I just got this inkling. I drove through Casadega the other day. And
is that your Casadega, Talladega?
That's right, yeah. And I got this inkling that I think it might be Harvick.
Yeah?
I think so.
Because he's a little pissed right now.
A bit.
Yeah, he left Texas with what the ball players call a little bit of the red ass.
Well, you could throw Clint Boyer in on that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. He's been angry all season. He's all mad about qualifying. So,
yep.
Clint Boyer, I'd love for it to be Clint Boyer because it's so much fun when he wins.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to say Clint Boyer, but I'm going to say no. The Penske Gibbs deal lasts at least one more week. And I'm going to – nobody cares, but I'm going to say Brad Keselowski is the guy who keeps it going.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, why not? What the heck, you know?
But, you know, it could be anybody. You got to remember.
That is true, Buzz.
It could be anybody.
Anybody who has a car and a starting spot,
that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the keys to the ignition, yes.
Got to remember Elliott Sadler won there one time. Right.
Good point. Yeah.
With the Wood Brothers.
Good point, yeah.
Who were in a bit of a slump at the time.
Yeah.
So it could be anybody's team.
Well, that was 2 decades without a win.
Yeah.
Is that a slump?
A bit of a slump, yeah.
Godwin, you want to talk about slumps? Or you want to move along? All right, that's it for this segment. We'll be right back. All right, Ken Wells, Godwin Kelly, joined by Buzz McKim. In case you haven't heard, it's the 100th episode of Daytona Motor Mouse, your friendly podcast. We're number two. We try harder, as they say in Amazon.
Now, they're going to put a plaque out front for this occasion, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought so, yeah.
Let's talk Darrell Waltrip for a second. Boy, Jenna Fryer, she covers automobile racing, NASCAR specifically, mostly, for the Associated Press, the wire service, which sends its stuff around the world, and it's picked up by newspapers around the world. And most of the time, there are people who cover a beat, basically just cover the beat and report on it. Sometimes, more and more recently, in recent years, they double up and occasionally write an opinion piece, what we like to call a column.
a column.
You're learning a lot here, aren't you?
Oh, I'm glad I came.
Yeah, Jenna wrote about old DW, about Darrell Waltrip, and how that the rumors of his exit from the Fox booth now at age 70, 71, whatever he is, that it is probably true. It's probably coming up when they're done with their part of the schedule here in June. And she insinuates that, boy, about time. And, man, and social media just is rotten. But she took a big blistering from, you know, people complain about DW and gripe about DW. But all of a sudden, it seems like everybody decided to come to his defense and say, hey, we can do it, but you can't, you know. And so you're we'll go with Buzz and then Goblin. What do you? Well, your opinions on DW? Is it time? Are you a thumbs up or thumbs down guy on Waltrip? Just overall, we'll play the name. Or, you know, pretend it's a word association game. Mm-hmm. Darrell Waltrip.
Darrell Waltrip. Eagle.
Yeah, a little bit.
Nice hair.
Yeah.
Oh,
he let it go though this year. He went silverish.
Yes, he certainly did.
He lost. Must have lost his. His wrap.
That's right.
Yeah. the fab guy or whoever puts the wrap on the cars. took the month off.
He's a tradition.
Yeah.
He's a tradition. I mean, how can you get rid of a tradition? Right.
I don't know.
You know, until they have to prop him up against the mic, I say let him go.
Yeah.
He's always colorful.
Even then, that'd be even better. Prop him up.
So who are you going to get?
Yeah. Why do you have to have anybody? Why can't you just have a two-man booth, Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon?
You got it. I think
why did everybody suddenly think, oh, we got to have a three-man booth because everybody else was doing it?
Yeah. Hey,
what's one of the best – you know, God knows you don't watch ball games or you shouldn't watch ball games for the announcers. Mm. But one of the best things going right now, the hottest thing going in terms of public opinion is Jim Nance with Tony Romo.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly because of Tony Romo. But
right.
Nance, of course, is a consummate play-by-play guy.
Yeah, but he's a little key, though.
Two-man booth.
Yeah, Romo really adds a little zing to it, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's unreal. Yeah. Two-man booth.
Yeah.
On the MLB Network, they have a lot of three-man booths, but the occasional two-man booth. And when John Smoltz is the second man, it works great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have to have a three-man booth. I don't think they have to. I mean, there's plenty of candidates, and God knows there's plenty of ex-drivers that would do it.
Sure.
So. Yeah. But anyway, so you think just stick with them?
Yeah,
and stay with them. Yeah, I mean, because they, in other sports, boy, they tried to get rid of some beloved broadcasters for individual teams.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Bo Schembechler took over as president of the Detroit Tigers, and one of his first acts was to fire the play-by-play guy Ernie Harwell.
Oh yeah!
Oh my God, they almost burned the city down. They said, "You can't do this." Yeah.
Oh, they never would have gotten rid of Vin Scully until he left on his own.
No, they let him call his own shot. Yeah,
yeah, sure.
So do you think we should let Goblin weigh in on Darrell Waltrip?
Oh, absolutely.
He doesn't have a microphone.
Well, I'm going to give him mine.
Oh, dang it. We had an easy out. What do you think, Goblin?
Well, I think what they could do is, obviously, you know, he's a wealth of information as far as the sport because he's been involved in it since, what, the 60s maybe, the late 60s. He knows a lot of background kind of stuff, and I think there's a place for him, but maybe not in the booth on race day. Maybe more of a, you know, like they've done with Larry McReynolds.
Yeah,
they keep him in the booth or at the studio.
Yeah,
and he weighs in on things, and it's like he's there at the track. And so I think they could figure out something with DW.
Let me tell you something about race fans that I've – the really good race fans and longtime race fans that I've come to learn over the years. When in doubt, go with nostalgia. They love nostalgia. I mean, as much as anybody this side of one of the baseball romantics, you know. So maybe they could be – when he is ready to leave the booth or when they're ready for him to leave the booth, whichever comes first – yeah, I could see them doing a weekly taped piece with him, Memory Lane with DW, where they go back and they show something that happened in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And whether it directly involved him or not, he was there at least at minimum as a witness to it. And just have him do a little canned 2 or 3 minute thing each week with that. And I think people would love that. To have him think back and look back and show the old footage. They love the old pictures, you know that, and old footage, you know that.
Absolutely.
More than anybody in this room anyway.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, I always think when in doubt, show a bunch of old pictures and tell a bunch of old stories, and the core of the fan base, that which is preferably still alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Preferably.
They love that. They can't get enough of it. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, as long as you have that resource, why not? And, you know, NASCAR keeps talking about getting back to the roots. Well, there's the roots right there. So just, you know, run it as long as it'll go.
Yeah. Speaking of DW, he did a lot of racing in Nashville, Fairgrounds.
Yes, Speedway. He did.
And as the thinking is that that track will be back on the schedule in 2021. Do you see, I mean, next year they're shuffling the cards around, shuffling the dates around, but they can't take any races away from anybody yet.
Right.
Do you see, looking ahead to 21, are you looking at major changes, slight changes beyond what we already have for 2020?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they have so many changes coming up this year, and you have to kind of get acclimated to that. And in 21, I'd like to see them bring back Nashville and Rockingham, which would be just wonderful.
Is it possible?
I think maybe so.
Does anyone own the Rock right now?
Well, I think the bank, maybe.
But, you know. Godwin's Mitsubishi.
Yeah. But that would be great, you know, to have that sort of thing. Who knows?
Maybe might be too much work needed to get the Rock up and running.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, yeah, of course, you can always dream about Wilkesboro, but
nope.
You know, that's
Nashville,
probably
Nashville, I think, is a given, and I really like the – I think the road course in Austin would be cool, too.
Oh, man.
It is fancy.
Yes.
Nice.
And they could use another date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be fun. It's a fun part of the world. You know,
you betcha.
people would like to see that. Since you weren't here, obviously, last week, because last week was our 99th episode, and there was no reason for you to be here for
that's
that.
That's right.
But this, by the way, is number 100, in case you haven't heard. Last week, we talked about moving the Firecracker 400 from 4th of July weekend up to late August, beginning next year. Your thoughts on that?
I love it. I really do. I might be an oddball there, but I figured the weather isn't going to make that much
difference. That's not what makes you an oddball. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you knew me when I was a kid, right? But I like the fact that you have a lot of extra attention on that race because it is the last race of the season, the regular season. And with Daytona and the proclivities toward the big one, I mean, it could really change an awful lot going into the chase. Just by way of attrition or possible attrition, which you wouldn't get normally at Richmond.
Yeah.
And I just think it's going to be great. Plus, it lets the hoteliers come up with something else for the 4th of July here in town.
And they will have no shortage of ideas, I'm sure.
I would Godwin,
now you've had another week to ruminate and think about and to daydream about proclivities of the big one. Yes, that's going to be my fantasy league football team's name next year. Proclivities of the big one.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what it means.
Yeah, well, I think oh, contraire, Mr. Kelly. Well, I mean, thinking now that you've had another week, moving the 400 to late August next year, last race of the regular season. Now that your mind is less muddled with all those facts, figures, and dates and race names and everything, what are you thinking now?
I'm thinking, brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Hey, you know what this means?
What?
We get the 4th of July off for the first time in our adult lives.
No, that's where you're wrong. I keep telling people, since they moved that race to the first Saturday of July, or Richard Petty says July, you had a 3-7. They're here for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So by my count, you basically had a 3-7 chance of the 4th of July
well, now,
falling during that race weekend.
Yeah, but
unless you start counting
if it was and didn't fall that 3-day window.
It was close enough to mess you up.
You're still working. I mean, you're still doing stuff.
Well, like this year, I think it's on July the 1st.
Yeah.
Nobody celebrates the 1st of July.
No,
I think the 2nd of July was when everything was actually signed in Philadelphia, and that was the 4th before it was ratified, I believe, if my history serves me.
Sounds better. Were you there?
No. You know what? I've never been to Philadelphia.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah. I hear it's you got to go. I mean, if you like the history stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to put up a roadside lemonade stand.
Well, that's where the Canadian robot got beat up.
Really?
Yeah. Did you hear this story?
No.
Okay, so this college in Canada put together a robot, and it couldn't move or anything. But if you approached it, it would say, like, you know, it explained, I'm from, you know, the University of Alberta. Let me ride with you and to wherever you're going. Then leave me in a place where somebody else will pick me up. Well, the thing made it all the way from, like, wherever Alberta is to Philadelphia. When it got to Philadelphia, the police found it in the alley.
All strung out on strung out on coke. Had a needle in his box.
So, you know, we've been there.
Turning tricks.
We've been there. We took a family trip, and we had a couple days there. And
speaking of, let me in your car and take me with you.
I've had my, you know, no offense to the Philadelphia.
Listen, they're not. Trust me, there's not one person in Philadelphia that's going to tune us in.
Yeah, well, yeah. You never know.
I pretty much know that.
All you got to do is have one person from Philadelphia listen to this, yeah. And then all of a sudden we're going to get bombarded.
They're going to throw my robot in an alley, won't they?
Yeah.
Should we listen to Kevin Harvick's clip about the schedule?
Oh, yeah. He had his own opinion on 2020 and beyond.
Well, before we get out of this segment, let's listen to Mr. Harvick.
So as far as the schedule is, in my opinion, for the 2020 schedule is a huge step in the right direction, and I think you know, those round ends and putting Bristol in there and having Daytona be the, you know, the last race of the regular season, I think there's a tremendous amount of really good things that are put in there, and I think that'll continue to get better as you go into 21 and you see those track agreements come to an end at the end of 20. The one thing I would like to see, you know, with that 2 week gap in there, I'd love to see that first week. I'd love to see a mandatory shop closure of all the race teams to really rejuvenate the guys, gals, everybody in the sport to come back fresh and really get kind of a mid season break. You see them do that in Formula One, and I really think for the morale and just to keep everybody from just getting beat into the ground. I think that would be something that would be really interesting to see happen. But I think from a schedule standpoint, I think we definitely have some really good changes.
You know who's not taking 2 weeks off in the middle of next summer, Buzz?
I would have to say the folks at Pocono.
No.
No.
No. Me and Mr. Kelly will not be taking – we will not be going dark for 2 weeks in the
really?
Middle of next summer.
Well,
no.
That's good to know.
Okay. Yeah. Because this – God knows this thing, rain or shine. That's why we got 100 of them in the can.
Yeah.
Have you heard?
I've heard something about that. It's wonderful.
Number 100.
And, you guys are just – you're reliable. You know, I mean, people can
that,
trust you.
That's true.
You can trust – yeah, you can trust you.
One thing for certain, you know what you're getting.
No preconceived notions here.
No. Keep that bar about ankle high.
So this is our 100th episode of Daytona
really?
Motor Mouths, and we have to say Daytona Motor Mouths because somebody else has Motor Mouths.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe Junior. Junior has Motor Mouths.
Might be right.
Yeah, so.
Now, there was one or two other incarnations of this that we have done over the years here.
Yeah.
And but this is the first one that's, you know, so streamlined and brilliantly produced.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Now, another thing that Willis and I have been doing for a while.
Excuse me? It's a hot mic you're holding right there.
Is NASCAR this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's been...
53 weeks a year.
Yeah.
52 weeks every year, NASCAR this week. It never takes a week off, even during the off season.
Yeah, but there is no off season.
There is no off season for us.
Yeah. There's no off season for us.
Yeah, and it is in the newspapers, dailies, and weeklies across this land of ours and in Canada.
Really?
Yes.
Get some emails and letters from Canada every now and then. And it is chock full of little items that are easy to digest. No long reading there. No long form journalism. Just quick hit and get in, get out. What the hell was that? That was NASCAR this week. Can I have another? Yes, next week there'll be another one. And the week after. And the week
what
after.
About the week after that?
But we are going to take a break right now, and we're going to get out of the second segment, which was you'll get that in Big Time Auto Racing.
Yes.
And then we're going to move on to green, white checkers right after this. All right. About time to wrap it up, Mr. Kelly. Ken Willis, Gavin Kelly, episode number 100 of Daytona Motor Mouse. We're winding down. How
well,
do you feel?
Well, I feel exhausted, but I'm wondering how long this is going to last. That's the question that's kind of hanging out there.
Well, Buzz has no doubt we'll make it to 200.
Buzz thinks we'll go to 200.
Yeah.
But can we? Do you think we can catch Kyle Busch?
Oh, what will he be on by the time we get to 200? He might be on 225.
That's 2 years from now.
Is he going to keep racing the Busch and Trucks?
It doesn't matter because he's going to win 3, 4, 5 cup races every year. Well, so,
all right, we'll just keep on going.
We'll just keep
trying to outlast him. Can't outrun him, outlast him. You know what we do? You know how we end this thing, Buzz? You're supposed to say, of course I know how you end this. We play a little something called the birthday game.
How nice.
Yes. I look through the coming week to see from today through the following week who in the racing world is having birthdays.
Oh.
And it seems, you know, it's just a little bit of trivia, and people
That's
like
nice.
It. It comes occasionally gives us a chance to talk about somebody.
Today is Jane Goodall's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she has nothing to do with NASCAR.
No, not at all.
No, not even not even the chimps.
I'll
that
be
she's
a monkey's
raised.
Uncle.
That's right.
was she the drugstore heiress?
Yeah.
Goodall's? Remember Rexall?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the Bay Rum?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the barbershop. Yeah. I found a drugstore years ago that sold Bay Rum, and I bought a bottle of it, and I just put it away somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I opened it and tried it just for the hell of it, you know? And I tucked it away somewhere, and I found it in a box like 15 years later. Smelled exactly the same
as it
did.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Whatever happened to High Karate?
High Karate, that's a good that's good. And Aqua Velva.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Aqua Velva, man.
Yeah, something about an Aqua Velva, man.
That's right.
So anyway, gives Godwin a chance to show off his. He has an uncanny ability to tell me how old these people are going to be.
Oh, right.
I think Buzz.
Here we go.
Well, we're gonna. Okay. What we'll do is we will. We'll make a game out of this.
Oh boy, I love games.
All right. All right, thanks for joining us. Daytona Motor Mouth. We're going to play the birthday game. Oh, you're right. I don't have the bell.
Do I win a new car?
A new car!
What's behind door number two?
Two donkeys. And remember, let's make a deal. You just won a donkey. Now, we have one rule. The person has to be alive.
Okay.
Now, occasionally, I'm not sure if the person's still alive or not, so we say to hell with the rules. And occasionally, we say to hell with the rules when it's somebody who is of such stature that we say instead of he's celebrating a birthday, we will be celebrating a certain anniversary of his birth.
Oh.
And I tell you that why.
You don't want to embarrass a guy.
No. No, I tell you that because we're about to do just that.
Oh,
we're
gonna,
our first birthday is a guy who's no longer with us. And it would have been tomorrow. Yeah. And how old tomorrow would Bill French Jr. have been? Did I mention that Buzz was a officially licensed and registered NASCAR historian?
Carrying, yes.
Yeah.
Now, just
pretend we're on a road course.
Okay, and tagged in.
And he's helping me out with my car this week.
All right, Buzz.
All right, let's see. Bill, he would have been.
But here's the good news. This is going to take math.
Yeah.
He knows part of this equation, but it's doing the math is where we might trip him up.
Yeah, the math is a bad problem there, I'm going to say he would have been 86.
And you would be right.
Thank you.
Yeah. 1933, June, April 4th, whatever. Maybe. What month are we in? I just know it's show number 100. Friday, former pretty good little driver, little racer, Mike Bliss. He has a birthday Friday. Remember a lot of, I think, ARCA, Busch series, some trucks.
Open wheel driver.
Yeah.
Great. In fact, I told him one
Modified?
Time. Midgets.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and he was here for the...
We call them little cars.
The little cars, the cute little cars, yes. But, he was here one time, and I said, you know, watching you in those midgets, I said, that's the most fun I've had since my honeymoon. He said, you must have had a pretty sad honeymoon.
Oh, well, we'll get off that topic right away. That's for show 101.
Yeah. Oh,
Honeymoon Tales. Well, Godwin, take a shot. Mike Bliss.
Mr. Bliss. Now, you caught me. This is an ambush because normally, like if they're brothers.
Rarely miss them.
Like I can say, okay, well, he was this age, and then I can do kind of, you know. But I have no idea about Mike Bliss.
Well, let's start with Buzz's honeymoon. What year was that?
What year? Oh, my God. Okay, I'm just going to throw out 55. That's my...
Even when he throws it out, 54.
Oh, man.
I told you how unbelievable it is. This one, you're going to do some ciphering on this one. Sunday, sometimes these guys... Sometimes it's a thin week for high-quality birthdays, so we have to you know, mm-hmm. reach a little deeper in the bag.
Okay.
Loy Allen Jr. Sunday.
Holy cow.
Not Rex Allen Jr., but Loy Allen Jr. Sunday.
One of the only rookies to sit on the pole for the Daytona 500.
Yep. In the Hooters car. He is. Oh, it's so much easier for me when you don't do that. But the Hooters car, right?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So he got that Kowicki sponsorship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a guess.
Okay.
48.
Yes. He messed one up. 53.
Oh, isn't that old?
53 on Sunday. He's 52 right now.
Okay.
But 53. Right. Godwin will be more wrong on Sunday when he's 53. next Monday, hitting a little close to home, little TV boy. Speaking of nice hair, next Monday, Matt Yoakum.
Ah, good old man. We love him, man.
Seabreeze High School, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Look at Godwin. Look at the look on his face. Oh, you're cheating.
I'm going to my lifeline.
Yeah, that's all right.
Matt. 43.
Woof. Goblin. Don't Matt. Let my woof give it away.
Matt is, I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go 48.
Both are wrong. 51.
Whoa. Whoa.
I wouldn't have thought so.
He carries it well.
You know, the hair is 7. in the slightly way back machine, also Monday, Robert Presley. Oh, I think he was old school. He got the Skull Bandit after Handsome Harry retired, I think.
Yeah.
He won about a 10 or 12 Busch Series races in his mm-hmm. day. I don't mm-hmm. think he ever won a cup race.
He was on our nominating committee 1 year.
Was he?
Yes,
he was. For the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Bobby
yeah.
Joe Presley. Robert Presley. You know, how old will he be?
Well, he's got a hot dog stand now in Asheville.
No kidding.
And it's pretty darn good. And we were having lunch one day. Don't mean to drop a name, but we were having lunch with Jack Ingram there. I said, hey, he's pretty good hot dogs. He said, yeah, they're not bad. I said, I understand that you and Robert probably got into a tussle a time or two. He said, no, but he said, I did kick his daddy's ass a few times.
Well, once you do that, you got the kids' respect. Yeah,
that's right. I'm going to say he's going to be the big 6-0.
Godwin, you want to take a shot?
Robert Presley?
Yeah.
I'll go under. I'll say 58.
You could go exactly what he said. You don't have to take a different number.
I'll go exactly as he said.
You would be right then.
Ah!
60.
Ah!
It's Monday. One more. Tuesday, we're going to venture outside of NASCAR.
What kind of car?
Although he did win a... He did run a couple of NASCAR races.
I'm getting closer to that new car.
Yeah.
It's a brand new car.
Next Tuesday, Jacques Villeneuve. He is one of the rare birds who is an IndyCar and Formula One champ. And next Tuesday, he's going to be a birthday boy. Anybody want to take a shot? Boy, don't fight over that microphone.
I'm going with 70.
Not Gilles Villeneuve. It's daddy.
Oh, you mean the kid?
Good recovery.
The kid?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice recovery.
All right, so I'm going to go with 36.
Okay.
41.
48. God, you guys.
Whoa, time flies.
God, I built you guys up. I built up Goblin anyway.
Yeah, well,
all right, well, Goblin's going to leave us with a dad joke, and that'll be it for episode. Boy. Which one is this? Episode number, I heard, 100, I think. Next week will be episode number 101. I'm Goblin Kelly. I'm Ken Willis.
Wait a minute.
Joined us in the studio, and Goblin's going to leave us from the book with one a dandy, I trust, from the book of dad jokes.
Dad jokes, bad jokes, and puns inspired by dads. Okay, and this is on page 66.
All right,
That's a famous racing number, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't that Cale Yarborough's Phillips 66 car?
66.
Yeah. All right. There you go. See? I tied it in.
Nice job.
Yeah. So anyway, this is joke 114. What dog can jump higher than a building?
Oh, man.
What dog can jump higher
than
a building?
Building?
Well, I give up.
All of them. Buildings can't jump.
Well, that about do it. Well, thank you. This has not been part of every all 100 episodes, by the way. It was a late edition.
Yeah, you wouldn't have gotten
it. It may not make it to 200.
So anyway, Buzz, thank you, Buzz McKim, racing historian, specialty NASCAR. Thank you so much for joining us today for our 100th episode of Daytona Motor Mouse, which you can find at DaytonaMotorMouse.com.
Much obliged, guys. I am honored to be a part of this Festivus.
Don't get all full of yourself.
this lovely occasion.
Yes.
Thank you. And I appreciate the snacks, too.
Oh, great. You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Daytona Motor Mouths. To reach the program, please visit DaytonaMotorMouths.com or follow on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona. And thanks for joining us. Daytona Motor Mouths is a production of the Daytona Beach News Journal.